Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome the citizen lobbyist once again in to talk about things that are worth talking about. And this has been an interesting week, particularly given a slightly changed time for the Borough Assembly. Shall we begin?
Yeah, big change, Mike. Actually, they made this change some time ago, so it was properly advertised and noticed. As it turned out, during this week, the mayor, the manager, Assemblymember Kowalki, and Assemblymember Beck were all going to be in Washington, D.C., talking to our representatives there, our two senators, and Representative Young. And so they were trying to plan ahead, knowing that we have that pesky four-hour time change, and trying to roll it into their busy day of appointments. So they moved it up a little bit, and they started at 4 o'clock. And I was really glad to see, even at 4 o'clock, there was quite a few people in the audience, Mike.
Oh, okay.
So we did have a full quorum. Mr. McKee, Mr. Sykes, Mr. Mayfield, who actually ran the assembly meeting, because you have to be in the chair to run the meeting. So he was actually the deputy mayor for the day. And Mr. Culligan, who we have not seen for a while in his chair, he has done a fair amount of calling in. I don't even know the last time we actually physically saw him, Mike, but he was there in person. And Assemblywoman Barbara Doty was there. So they had a full slate of people.
Great.
So they had an agenda. And actually, again, Manager Lucy was in D.C., so Assistant Manager George Hayes did the ran the meeting from that chair. There were no reports from the city, not even the report from the city of Wasilla. So maybe Mayor Cottle didn't get the message that it was turned to 4 o'clock, because he normally always is there for the city of Wasilla, but he was not there.
And I did notice a few people when the meeting finished coming in thinking that it had begun perhaps at 6, and they came in with a kind of a quizzical look and said, oh, where is everybody?
Did you see Mayor Cottle? Was Mayor Cottle among
No,
them?
He was not among them.
Okay. So you have to keep on your toes. I always look at the borough webpage just to make sure. Oftentimes they do have a 4 p.m. meeting preceding their regular meeting as a special meeting, but this was a regular meeting at 4 o'clock. So
right.
It's always good to check that main page. They had a new interim superintendent of schools, Monica Goyad, there to introduce herself to the assembly members in case they did not know her. And of course, we found out last week that Superintendent Gene Stone was leaving his position there as superintendent for personal reasons. And she has been selected to serve as interim superintendent. She's been with the district 8 years or 18 years. So she's well established in the district and has hit the ground running. In fact, she was at a meeting I was at earlier in the week, Mike, which is the Joint Assembly School Board meeting, which we can talk about a little bit.
Right.
When we get to it here, there was a report on it. So she was just there to introduce herself. They've seen her before, but now they can actually put a name to a face and assured them that everything's fine. She's hit the ground running and all is well. They had a mayoral proclamation regarding Recognition Day for National Service, which seemed a little odd because the mayor wasn't there, but it did get read into the record. Mr. Sykes gave the brief meeting synopsis on the joint meeting I just referred to and talked mostly about the grave concerns, of course, that the school district has about the budget cuts. They just learned this week that the Senate intention of cutting 5% across the board is actually a bill that the Senate is now considering. It doesn't sound like a lot of public input they're planning on getting on it, but it's it takes an already big deficit of $10 or $11 million and adds it up. So they're looking at about a $20 million deficit as we sit if that cut to this the BSA goes through.
Right.
Lots of concern about that. They had a little bit of discussion about the old Iditarod School property that is now cleared of the old Iditarod School. And the city of Wasilla has announced its intention to buy the piece of property. And the school district is now voicing some concerns about that leaving the inventory of school property because they might just need it later. There's some talk that maybe the correspondence school will need it after their lease is up, and they just have sent word to the assembly, maybe not so quick. We should kind of look at what our future planning is here. So we'll see how that goes. There is a resolution that's already on the docket for next meeting that the managers brought forward to sell it to the city of Wasilla for some $1.5 million. $1.5 million. So we'll see if they go through with that, Mike. That is under value, according to their internal staff, but it would be nice, I suppose, to have that in the coffers. Although I think probably a lot of that money has to go back into the school site selection committee anyway because they've borrowed heavily from it. So we'll see where that goes. They had one kind of exciting announcement that you would have appreciated, I think, Mike, and that was from, well, they did have, I should back up here and say that they had a couple of gentlemen from the fish board there who talked about the big fisheries meeting that has happened in the state a few weeks ago. They talked about all the hours that they had put in, all the work that Patty Sullivan from the borough had put in, putting together the data, Frankie Barker, and they felt like they lost a little ground this year, but that we'll just have to see how they gave it a good fight anyway. The fish wars are a whole, you know, another conversation, but there was a report on that. But the report I was talking about, Mike,
okay,
is what came from Eric in the IT department, and he talked about how they're alive and ready on their website for e-commerce. And so one of their business products, which is business licenses, you can now go on the borough website and get your business license without going to the borough.
Right.
Which is pretty exciting. And they expect to run that for a little bit, and pretty soon you'll see that you can go get your trailhead parking, your swimming lessons, firewood permits, gravel permits, driveway permits, all those things will be put on that site. So no reason to drive to the borough for all the people out west once this whole system is up and going. Right now they're just trying to get it going, but you are able to go on there as of yesterday and at least get your business licenses. And they had some 70 people already renew business license on there. So that's pretty exciting. So that was kind of the end of the managers. He had one little comment about the fact that they have a memorandum of understanding now with the Chickaloon tribe and the state troopers, that there's a couple members of the tribe that will now be able to write tickets on public highways. They've been through some training classes to assist the troopers up there, so maybe they'll have some other methods for enforcement.
Right, right. So, but then they moved into the other part of the agenda.
The other part of the agenda. Okay, yeah. So what were you waiting for?
I'm waiting to hear about all of those people that were there to speak about a treatment center.
Right. Well, let me just say quickly that they had on here an ordinance to fund the repairs for the Point McKenzie dock barge, and that was kicked down the road. Assemblywoman Doty and Mr. Sykes both wanted more information, and they are going to put that on the 18th of April meeting. They passed a couple of other minor things, but yep, you're right, Mike. Once the real action in the room. The other thing they threw down the road is some changes that they want to make to the subdivision code. And it's pretty extensive, and I'm not surprised at all that someone at the table moved to postpone that until everybody was there. So that has been actually moved down to June 6th until they get some more information. Those are two big items that made the meeting much, much shorter.
Okay.
But what you're talking about, Mike, was there was a group there from Set Free Alaska, who is an addiction treatment program that has gotten an agreement with the owners of the old Frontierist school on Bogart, is having it rehabbed to turn it into a 20-bed inpatient treatment for women and mothers for drug treatment. And there was the leader of that particularly nonprofit there, who spoke pretty eloquently, talked about how they had, you know, done all of their due diligence, that he was under the impression there were a couple of neighbors that were not happy that they were there, but, you know, it's a much-needed facility, and they think it was really kind of a perfect place for it. It suits all of their needs, and he hopes to be able to talk to the neighbors that predictably in these situations don't want this type of facility in their neighborhood and try to ease their minds. He made a point, which I think is usually turns out to be true in these instances, where those facilities coming into those areas actually make the place safer because there's more eyes watching. They have very strict rules about who can come and go.
Right.
And so the enforcement is pretty heavy right there. But he talked about it. And then they had their board chair, a man by the name of Dane Willis, speak. And they did have a couple of property owners that talked about it. And I don't think at the end of the day, Mike, they were that upset about the operation there. They are very aware of the big problem that we have in the Valley with drug use and addiction and the problems that it's caused. They were more upset with the borough that there wasn't any type of a process where neighbors were alerted. And the reason for that is this type of facility, they would have had to get a conditional use permit if they would check off a few boxes, and that has concerns about how many people are in the facility. There's a certain number for that, how much traffic goes in and out. There's a whole kind of a guideline that sort of governs that in borough code, whether you need a conditional use permit. And when you do need one, then they do make an effort. They actually mail out to neighbors. I'm not sure exactly the geographical area, but people are alerted that there's going to be a use for that. But it's in a commercial district already. It didn't fulfill any of the needs for those conditional use permits, and it's back to really what the borough code allows. And in this case, they are absolutely, it would seem, in compliance. Nothing that the assembly would be part of at all. If they did have to get a conditional use permit, if it was a facility for that, it would have had to go to the Planning Commission and then perhaps to the assembly. But at this point, they are well within the bounds of what's on the books that governs this sort of thing. So a couple of people testified for that, but they had very respectfully, what might add, and again, seemingly more, a little worried about the facility in general and the nature of it, but also just very upset that the borough didn't let them know what was happening and they had to find out from other neighbors or
right.
The people at the facility. But then they had lots and lots of testimony, Mike, from people that have benefited from treatment. Parents of people with kids in treatment, Michelle Overstreet, who runs the My House operation, talks about it, told some moving stories about kids that, you know, that they've had to deal with that should be in treatment, kids that they've had to deal with whose parents should be in treatment, but there's no beds out here. I don't think anybody should be very shocked that there is a big problem and a big shortage of any type of treatment areas.
Right.
But it's pretty humbling to sit in a room like that, Mike, and hear from people who get up and say they were an addict, but now they've been clean for 10 or 15 years. But they have a son who's lost 13 of their friends in the last couple of years. So it certainly does put a certain feeling in the room, and bravo for them to come up and tell their personal stories like that. So that was the end of that conversation. And then the other one, I'm glad to say, was a conversation about a resolution on the agenda in regards to support for a smoke-free workplace law, SB 63, that has passed the Senate and is on its way to the House right now for consideration. Of course, Mat-Su is one of those second-class boroughs that doesn't have health powers, so can't pass their own law. And this is typically exactly why the legislature has to act and pass a statewide law, which protects everyone. And I spoke, disclaimer, I spoke, as did a couple of other people who spoke, passionately about it.
Right.
And then I think there was only one more person that actually spoke, and he was who is a neighbor to the Iditarod school that I spoke about earlier. And he is against them selling it to the city of Wasilla, and he think it's a poor site for any type of a public safety facility. And so he spoke to them about that. So that was kind of the end of the audience participation, other than a couple of regular people who speak, and resolutions on the agenda regarding Smoke-Free Alaska did pass by unanimous vote, which I'm happy to report, and also a resolution that supported a purchase of 295 acres of land in the Settlers Bay neighborhood by the Great Land Trust in order to donate the land to the borough to be managed for habitat and recreation, which is really a wonderful thing to hear. So all in all, very good, efficient meeting that Mr. Mayfield conducted, I think.
Yep. Sounds
I think we were out of there early, like, what was it, Mike? 6:17, I think.
Yep. It was a very, that was very interesting. It was almost as if, I don't know, one might suggest that the use of the earlier meeting time is not a bad thing. Just saying, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's a pro and con thing. You want to hope that people don't have to leave work to attend a meeting, but, you know, we have people that work at night also that want to speak. Really, typically, what I think in these situations is that they should start working harder on getting people to be able to testify by calling in.
Right.
Like the legislature allows, although the legislature has always kind of drug their feet on that, they're allowing more and more to come by call-in testimony. That is kind of the answer to those things. But I thought it was good, too. I think people are much more rested, ready to go. They're not trying to make hard decisions at 10 o'clock at night. And everybody gets home at a decent hour, and I think it certainly served its purpose well yesterday.
Right.
So I don't know about you, Mike, but I came home and looked at the election results to come in quickly from the city of Anchorage.
Right. Just maybe a few words about that, because in some respects, people look toward these early elections and their results to give some indication of where people's minds are. I was actually, as I looked at them, struck particularly by the passage of so many of the bonds. What was your opinion?
Wow. Yeah, go ahead. Talk about that.
Well, it's important, I think, to break them out because they're different kinds of bonds. All bonds aren't created equal. And
there was a lot of them.
Yes. The big one that I think there was a collective sigh of relief from the school district in Anchorage was the 50-some-odd million dollars that passed for some what was portrayed, and I think probably accurately, as needed repairs to a number of buildings.
Right.
And that,
deferred maintenance.
Yes, and that passed handily. And then there was a whole collection of smaller ones that had to do with local areas, but they all passed as well. There was only
public safety.
Right. And there's only one which I found interest. And then, of course, the bottom of the list was a rejection of a resolution, not a bond so much, to allow, essentially, the result was allowing the expansion of the number of taxis that were going to be in Anchorage. This has been posed as it was posed on there as in opposition of the expansion. It failed, and therefore there won't be the limited number of permits that presently exist.
It was tricky, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
I think it was very tricky. The whole thing was very tricky. But yes, that did pass, and you're right. I think it really speaks not only of that, but I would sort of broadly speak that most everybody that got elected, other than one I can think of, to fill four assembly seats, that's a lot, were pretty much who the mayor would want there, other than maybe one. And not only that, but the fact that all the bonds passed in a time when everybody agrees is the recession pretty speaks highly, I would say, of the mayor's leadership and the city of Anchorage to make some hard decisions about carrying on, even in a recession. So bravo for them.
Right.
I think also what's interesting about this election, Mike, is it's the last one that they'll be going to the booth for. They're going straight to the mail-in ballot next time.
Right.
So and I'm really anxious to see. This wasn't very good voter turnout. I haven't looked
20%.
At the 20%, that's what it was when I looked. And they've got a couple of very close races, one for school board still.
Right.
I guess that's the only really close one. There's a kind of a nail biter there.
Since you've talked about those seats as well, both the assembly and the school board, the number of seats up in the assembly, and the summary seems to be that the mayor, Mayor Berkowitz, has improved his situation with likely supportive votes from those people that have been elected.
Mm-hmm.
There was a return, however, of a very interesting character. I have to use that term because he has been over the years. Fred Dyson, out of Eagle River, returns to the assembly. And Mayor Berkowitz has said that, no problemo, I've always been able to work with Fred.
Yeah. Well, you need a little bit of yin and yang on there. So good from there. Also, some people getting off that have been high profile. Amy Domboski, who everybody's heard about, she's termed off, so she's off of it now. Mr. Evans, who actually just had one term on there, but he was sort of the beginning of the taxicab wars they're referring to. He's not on there anymore. And L.D. Gray Jackson, who's been a powerful force there, is now termed off too. I can't remember the fourth one. Is Mr. Traney still on? I think he is.
Yeah.
So there's a fourth one off too. So Mr. Steele got reelected.
Yep.
And we're seeing some old faces come back, not only there, but Mr. Donnelly.
Yep.
Who knew Mr. Donnelly was going to come back after years in the state legislature? And now he's got a younger family, and he's back on the school board.
Right. So that seems to be happening more often now. Well, the summary, though, the question in the summary is whether when we talk about bellwethers or early signs of what might be happening, whether it's in further elections here in the state of Alaska or other places, that some of these places, particularly La France in South Anchorage.
Yeah, the brother of Councilman
Pete LaFrance
here.
Right,
yeah.
And that although she has run before and had some name recognition, something of a surprise for her to emerge this way. And it also suggests perhaps that area, which some have suggested tended to be more Republican-leaning, even though these are nonpartisan races, might portend something for the future.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I was kind of surprised myself a little bit at the low voter turnout. But, what we've seen in other states that have gone to mail-in, that has changed dramatically. And who participates. And as I was talking to someone this morning, there was some pretty obnoxious attack ads at the very end of this city election. And I think we might see less of that in a mail-in because a lot of people just get their ballot and, you know, get them out early. So maybe that will get some of that.
Yeah, this is the last of these elections done this way. Next time it'll be mail-in. Very interesting.
Right. I hope we're on that.
Track two, yes.
Yeah, I hope we're on that track too.
Well, I think what may well happen is that once we see how Anchorage does it, that'll do it. Well, citizen lobbyists, I want to thank you for calling in today so that we've been able to cover the events of the week. Any last comment before we finish up?
Nope, it was a busy one. Hold down the fort.
Okay, thank you.
All right, talk to you soon. Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye.